Hello and welcome to According to John, where today we are discussing Republicans and Democrats, man.
There'll be no controversy here.
Okay, just so you guys know, right up front, we will not be choosing a political side in this podcast.
Is there such thing as a rebiblical, rebiblicrat, rebiblic?
No.
Oh, okay, I just
No, rebiblicrat. No, because God says he doesn't like lukewarm, so you better pick a point and get on it.
Yeah. You know, Johnny, when you brought this title up to me, I'm like, where's he going to go with this? And I thought of a biblical thing. Joshua, they're just getting ready to move in, the big deal, and he gets a visitor. The angel of the Lord, which most theologians believe is a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. It's a critical time, and Jesus shows up. And Joshua asked him kind of this question. Joshua said, whose side are you on? And the Lord said, I don't take sides. The question is not on whose side is he, but are we on his side?
Yeah, he
and
doesn't pick
all
sides.
All this other Republican, Democrat, libertarian, it just kind of... in his presence with her eyes on the Lord, the things of earth, the political things of earth grow strange to them. That's what I'm trying to say.
But I think that is a great point because, you know, we're like, okay, God, whose side are you on? And God's like, no. I don't pick sides because I'm the only side. So you have to pick my side or you get what's left. And that's not good.
Was that good enough for a point, John?
I'm going to give you a point.
I'm going to roll, baby.
Because I'm so stingy. Oh,
you're
my
doing better.
Goodness.
You're getting nicer.
I'm getting there. All right, guys. Hey, I am your host, John Westfall. This is my co-host, Pastor Duke Herget, the Duke Meister. And today, on According to John, we are going to be discussing should a Christian be a Republican or a Democrat? And guys, really... As I thought about this, because I'm not trying to alienate anyone, even though I seem to sometimes. Like my goal is to teach, not to push people away. And so in this, I'm not choosing a side. What I am going to do is point some obvious things out. And Duke, you and I talked on this. And
here's what I think you're going to do. You're going to do a Bible study on the topic.
Yeah, that's what. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what we're going to do.
So we're just going to lay it out, and you're going to have to decide whether you need to be a Democrat or a Republican. You need to decide. And I will tell you this, and this is absolutely a fact. I mean, this is inescapable. Your decision will show how close you are to God.
Are we biblically minded? Do we have a biblical worldview? And all of a sudden, it's real simple because we don't really care what the Republicans say. Right. Really don't care what the Democrats say. Right. I hate politics. However, the reality is this. The battle between God and Satan, between good and evil, is played out on the political battlefield of history.
Played out and won or lost.
Yes, yes. Played out on the battlefield of politics.
Yep.
And that part, I think, as a believer, we need to be keenly aware of what the enemy is doing on the political front, what God's will would be in a situation, and we would stand for God's will.
Right.
And we might not win at the political level, but we will stand. I'm not going to give an account before God for how things worked out politically in America in my time. I'm going to stand before God, and he's going to say, did you stand for my word?
Right.
And if nobody listened to Jeremiah, but he stood, and he's a great prophet. So,
well, and the other thing, too, that we got to remember is the politics that are allowed dictate the society.
They do.
When people say Christians shouldn't be involved in politics and politics should not be spoken of in the church or the pulpit, that's really an ignorant statement.
Yeah, it is. You don't want things to be politically dominant and approach it from a political view and take political sides and have political candidates. But if you're going to be biblical, this has a crossover.
Absolutely.
A very definite crossover. And to avoid it altogether is to be non-biblical.
Absolutely. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, guys. We're first off, we're not choosing a political side. And we will point out or speak for or against certain political issues. Because
when they're biblical or moral.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, biblical and moral is the same.
It is.
You can't separate mm-hmm. those two. So when we look at this, we got to look at the whole. And then, you know, we're going to discuss one of the things we were talking about was, and I said, man, I hate in politics that we have to pick the lesser of the two evils. But unfortunately, that's where our society has went to. But I think that's the fault of the Christian as a whole, because yeah. this was our country to give away.
You know, those of us who are living today as Americans, especially, say, those of us who are 50 and up, we remember a different America. And in Jeremiah, when he was a child.
Dude, I love being a kid in America.
It was
because
a fun country to grow up in.
It was.
You know, 75 innings of baseball a day. Go down to the pool and make eyes at the pretty lifeguard. That movie, what's that movie called?
Sandlot.
Oh, I love that movie.
Do you know why? Because that Sandlot really was a beautiful picture of a summer in America.
Yeah, it was. That was it. Tree forts and campouts and.
Man, that was. Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted your thought, dude.
No, you just picked up where I was leaving off.
Okay.
You followed. Just jumped ahead a little bit. Johnny, I do that. We complete each other's sentences. It's kind of scary. I'll pray for us.
We've been doing this for a while now, haven't we? All right, so we're not going to choose a political side. We will speak against certain political issues because here's the reality. There are a few political issues that are truly spiritual issues. You know, not every political issue is a spiritual issue. Now, we can make it one, but we can make anything we want in reality. I mean, look, they've made men, girls, and girls, boys, and boys, like cats and girls, cats. And so I guess we can do anything we want to do if we really argue for it.
I'm going to identify as Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was 25 years old.
It's not going to work.
Just leave me alone, Johnny.
Oh, my goodness.
We have some fun. Can't I have fantasies?
You can. But that's what they remain.
That's it. They're just fantasies.
They're just fantasies. And a boy being a girl is fantasy. And a girl being a boy, fantasy. And kids being cats, fantasy. Mm-hmm. And adults putting litter boxes in kids' classrooms, fantasy.
Insanity at that point. It goes from past fantasy to insanity.
I think you're right.
We better pray, John.
Yeah, we haven't even done that yet. Okay, brother, please open us in a word of prayer.
Okay, Father in heaven, we want to stand on the word of God as shining lights in a dark day. Lord, all of us are going to stand before you one day and give account of what we've done in our body, whether it's good or evil. We're going to give account. Did we stand with you on hard issues, or did we side up with the world and the devil? So we pray for discernment. We pray that our podcast today will bring conviction and direction and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, you know, here's one of the things, too. All right, let me stick with my notes, because if I don't, man, this will be a wreck.
Johnny, your mind is going all over the place. Just go on the notes.
Because I have 10,000 things I could say on this.
You just need to read your notes. They're excellent. I reviewed them for you. They passed. They're good.
You know I'm not always good at that.
Johnny's mind is going, choo-choo-choo-choo.
It really is.
I hate the devil here. I hate what he says here. I hate what he's doing there. Okay, let's
follow. All right, so notes. Here we go. There are only a few political issues that are spiritual issues. So, you know, like we have taxes, right? We want lower taxes, but the Bible doesn't endorse low taxes. It simply just says,
high.
Yeah, or high. It just says pay taxes.
Yeah. Christmas story. There came a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and the Jews hated that. And then Jesus brought it up too. You want to go that verse?
Yeah, so Matthew 22:15-21. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, Jesus, in his talk. And they sent to him And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the persons of men. Tell us, therefore." And what I really love is they already told him, "We know you're right. And we know that you will tell us truth."
I never thought of that, but yeah, they did.
Yeah, we know you're right.
But it's a setup. It's not sincere. <I know>. They're just using a setup here.
Right. But they said, "We know you're right, and we know that you don't show favoritism, so we know you'll answer this question truthfully."
And he, boy, did he.
That's what they did. They didn't appreciate it, but that's what they did. He says, "Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And so what do we see? Jesus simply says, pay Caesar what Caesar's. He didn't say, if he's a thief, fight it and get it lower taxes, although we want to do that because there does come a time where you just feel raped financially. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, that's why everybody's leaving New York is because, dude, we can't breathe for the taxes.
Yeah.
Look here in Romans 13, 6 through 7. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for their God's ministers attending continually this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to honor. So what we see is, again, the Bible just simply says pay your taxes, right? And so it's not, I guess the political issue for a Christian is we can fight for the freedom because the more taxes, the less freedom. And so, you know, we always have the angle, but God was like, just pay the taxes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to have dialogue and smart politicians would do that.
Yes.
Have dialogue and it can be disagreement and, people point it out. I don't want my tax dollars to go to kill babies.
Right.
But I have no problem with my tax dollars going to repair the highways and to take care of the elderly, things like that.
To do things that are social necessary. Network. Yeah, yeah.
There's a social network in the Bible, the edges of the field.
Well, how about this?
The law.
So take care of our country and take care of the people in our country. That's what the American government is responsible for, and yet they have abandoned that now, and they're taking care of every other country and every other citizen. And
neglecting our own.
And neglecting our own. And so we got a problem now. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So
one thing can bleed into another, and it gets kind of cloudy. Right. There's another overriding factor here. I think we would come as Bible-believing Christians, and there's things that are just clear. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's God the Son. Things are absolutely clear in Scripture. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. But there's issues where we're going to disagree that are not clearly spelled out in Scripture. That's where you're going in this direction. Right. It's just not clearly spelled out in Scripture. But there's an overriding spirit for me as a believer. It's called the priesthood of the believer, that each one of us before God has the right and responsibility of interpreting the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, all preachers, we get together all the time and talk about, what do you think about this in the news? What do you think about that? How's that fit in with Scripture?
Right.
So we have a respect for one another, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, that I have views, you have views, we all have views, we discuss them. But when God speaks in the Bible, it's settled. It doesn't matter what Duke or John or what anybody thinks when God has spoken. So there's a lot of areas in here that are really open for discussion and debate. And as a Christian, I want to show respect for somebody as long as it's a biblical direction, thinking that they're going, if they just want to be idiots and they want to attack, well, then you just tune it all out.
Yeah. Well, so here we go. We have taxes, right? But then here's some other issues that are not necessarily
biblical
or spoken of in the Bible. There are some areas where we see, and here we go, Social Security, universal health care, education funding, immigration, energy, environment, energy slash environment. Listen, these are not all in scripture. Mm-hmm. So we can argue for it to save the money that we're not wasting. We can do that, right? Like, because we do have to be good stewards of the money. Mm-hmm. So we can argue some of this stuff, but the bottom line is the Bible doesn't clearly speak about it.
But here's a neat thing is these things, the Bible clearly does not speak about Social Security.
Right.
But when you look in the Bible, there was a very clear Social Security system.
And that,
through
there you go.
And for the widows, there was the fields that they left the corners. So God made provision for the poor. Now, how do we make provision for the war? Social Security is not just benevolence. People paid into Social Security all their lives. It's really the government taking their money and saying, we'll give it back to you interest, in a sense.
Yeah, because they tax you again on what you already paid. That's the interest.
So these things are not clearly spelled out in Scripture, but they come up along the edge of biblical principles.
Right.
And that's where a level head, a biblical mind, and a spirit-filled countenance of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, when you have a godliness and you approach these very important issues, we should do it with wisdom and discretion and kindness.
Right. Yeah. And so there you go. This isn't necessarily political. It can be political. But if we do it God's way, it eliminates a lot of heartache.
It sure does.
It really does. So the truth is, because this is not set in stone, we can have good debate and we can have disagreements in good conscience. Now, what I do find funny is if we say, oh, no, we can't give all of our money for these immigrants, then Christians are accused of not being loving and being hateful. And then now people are either bullying us or guilting us into stuff. And that's where the problem comes. It's like, no, guys, we're looking at the bigger picture. And so we have to line it up with the Word of God as a whole, not just pinpoint specific verses that satisfy our need or even take those verses out of context, which we do, which many do quite often.
Take a look at the principle of immigration. Bible says, let your moderation be known to man. That would be a biblical principle to apply there. We see it's kind of mentioned in Scripture often about refugees. The Jews were kind of refugees in Egypt in a time of the famine. The Egyptians took care of them.
Yeah.
And then God always spoke back to Israel that you should be very kind to immigrants that come. But interesting, the immigrants that came into Israel, they were expected to follow the Levitical law.
Right.
According to the people, they were not allowed to bring in their false gods. So it's very clear that the Jewish people were to be a benevolent and kind people. But you don't see where there was like taxes and, they immigrated from Syria. So now the nation of Israel is responsible to financially fund them. That's nowhere in Scripture at all. They just had the right to go to work. And I think that would be a biblical example of a smart country that they'd give somebody a green card when they come, if they, to vet them out. Who are they? If they're criminals, I wouldn't let them in. But if they're just seeking a better world like my great-grandparents did, and they're willing to go to work, the government didn't really do anything for my grandparents when they came. They just give them a green card and go to work.
And you know what? Learn English, and you're in our country. So since you're in our country, you act like an American. Mm-hmm. And if you can't control yourself and act like an American, you can leave. I mean, it was pretty obvious, right? I mean,
it worked well. They'd come into their little communities. My immigrant grandparents came from Hungary, and there was a little, they called it Hunky Town, and it wasn't a derogatory thing. It's just what the Hungarians called hunkies. I was called a hunky growing up. I liked it. I wasn't a smear. Yeah. And
Italians are called wops.
Dagos. My best friend, Anna Swap, growing up, his mother's name was Savati. We were used to use that word all the time, and it was affection for us. But
right.
I guess in a different time, a different place, it was
offensive.
It was offensive. Yeah. I used that word when I came up here. A lot of Italians in my church, and they're like, what did you say? My friend, Dennis Dietrich, Anna Swap. It's like, oh, my goodness. I had to back off on that. But in my heart.
Yeah, because they're not.
It was a different world, different time.
Where you at? That's right.
But my grandparents, the kids all worked. They all learned English. The government gave them nothing except opportunity.
And you know what? But that's
that was the greatest thing they could have given them. Freedom and opportunity, right. And they loved, and all their kids excelled and did well in the
That's why
world.
America did so great, because we had freedom and opportunity, and we had a law that said you're not going to take advantage and hurt people, but you have the freedom to be as creative as you want.
Yeah, so you can take any one of these points that you just mentioned, and we could do a hour podcast on each one. So I just want to, you know, to our audience, we want to always be biblically minded. What was the immigration realities in the scriptures? Because they're mentioned. The Jews immigrated to Israel or to Egypt and then back. And then they were scattered, and they were refugees, and they came back. And the scriptures clearly address refugees. But it wasn't give them. Right. It was let them be secure, let them in, let them practice your culture, and you love them. Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men. Actually, David kind of turned on him, but there were, you know, Uriah the Hittite. Right. He wasn't a Jew, but he was converted. So anyway, I'll quit rambling here, Pastor John.
Well, the thing is that we do see it, and there is a process, and as long as we don't violate the process, it's good. The problems come when we violate the process and violate the word of God. Now we got issues.
It goes from bad to worse.
Yeah. So let's just look at things overall as Republicans and Democrats. So Republicans / conservatives prefer smaller government, right, and more individual freedom. Now, here's what's really interesting is, you know, when they went to free the slaves, that there was a vote. The government took it to a vote. And out of all the votes that were done, should we or should we not free the slaves, 100% of the Republicans voted yes.
Free the slaves.
Free the slaves. Zero Democrats. Democrats, or I should say 100% of the Democrats voted.
Keep them slaves.
Yeah. Now think about that just for a second. That's telltale, and that goes way back to the beginning, because some people will say, well, the earlier Republicans were actually, the earlier Democrats were actually Republicans. No, it's never been. So we can honestly say, here's the way it's always been.
History can be enlightening, huh?
It can. And so you have 100% of Republicans saying free the slaves. Why? Well, because we want smaller government and more individual freedom. And 100% of the Democrats said keep them as slaves, do not free them. And why? Well, because they just want more control, bigger government, and socialism.
All these things flesh out. And I think if it's a biblical thing that fleshes out, it will be to the advantage of the people. Mm-hmm. And if it's a non-biblical decision politically, it'll make things worse for the society.
Absolutely. Because, and again, I use that slavery as my instance, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, you know, it's emotional for us.
Yeah, and Democrats, liberals, progressives, they're all the same, prefer a more governmental oversight. Right, we want a bigger government. We want them to oversee everything.
I would call that control. I'd be a little harsher than you for once, Johnny.
Yeah, that was my.
I can use the word control.
They want control.
Yeah, it's very clear.
It's very clear, right? Over society and the economy, which we will see, because Republicans want to say, "Hey, let's do capitalism. Let's do, you know, let's give them
individual
freedom. Let them have the right to make the money, and that money's theirs, and so on and so forth." Whereas Democrats say, "Oh no, these people over here don't want to work, and so therefore, those of you who do want to work, you got to give to those who don't want to work because they're deprived, and they're only deprived because they're lazy." Mm-hmm. For the most part, yeah. Okay, I get it. We have some who are handicapped, but you know what? There's so many things in place to take care of those who really can't work. That for those who work, that's the other thing. Here's the other thing that gets me, right? Is we have and you talked about it, or we spoke about it, right? The Social Security. And Social Security, if you talk to the Democrats, Social Security is going bankrupt, and they want to control and keep everybody on the poorest level possible to give them, giving them their Social Security. But what we never see is welfare going broke. Social Security is going broke.
Yeah, people paid into it, and it'll go broke. They give the welfare to those who never paid into it.
And they give it to everyone. And you know, it's that's what we talk about. Republicans will say, no, you need to work for it. And Democrats will say, no, no, you need to stop work and we'll take care of you.
This is where the craziness of politics comes in.
Yeah.
Where they're buying votes, the groups of people. Let me just give a quick illustration of oversight that goes crazy. Government oversight and control, a little girl or a little boy. Can I get their ears pierced until they're 18 years old without parental descent, consent?
Yeah.
But they can go off and have an abortion or have a sex change operation without the parents' even awareness. Now, that's what you call government going mad.
Well, here's the thing. They can go do that. They can go have an abortion. They can do all this stuff. And they don't have to tell the parent. And if the parent tries to stop them,
then they arrest the parent.
They arrest the parent for child abuse.
Yeah. So we see oversight gone awry, especially in the last 10 years. Unbelievable what's going on now.
Well, how about with the vaccine? Kids are going to school. Schools are talking kids into getting the vaccine, and they do not need the parents' consent, do not have to ask the parents for anything, and the parents have no say over it.
See,
that's insanity, man. See, and who do we see arguing at the Senate and the Congress and everybody else to stop that, and that the parents should have the rights as parents? And who do we see arguing for that every time?
It's always the Democrats. Putting the oversight on the people.
Right, and the Republicans arguing to give freedom.
Yeah.
It's insane to me.
But see, Pastor John.
Am I picking a side here?
No. Maybe? I think the scriptures have already picked the sides.
I'm just explaining what's going on.
Here's what's happening. All these issues, they end up in the political arena.
Yes.
And we really don't like politics.
Well, and they don't belong in the political arena.
Amen. Johnny gets a point. Yeah, Johnny.
They don't belong
there. They don't belong there, but everything comes there. Right. Everything gets politicized. And that's, I think, is the work of the devil.
Yeah, but you know when it started? When the devil said it takes a village to raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
Or a village to raise a child.
Yes, I heard that from a certain prominent politician.
The devil.
Yes, he inspires political leaders.
The devil incarnate.
Uh-huh, yeah. But that's, you know, when people say, and I know
they mean. I'm choosing a side. I don't know. Go ahead.
I don't accept that, John. God is choosing sides. God's not siding up with good guys or bad guys. God is good, and people are just spitting in God's face with political creativity and demonic doctrines. And as Christians, we're trying to be doing the Great Commission, and yet we're being thrown under the bus,
right?
As far as our rights, and they're coming after our children. And if I want to oppose my 3-year-old and a grandchild to be in a school where they're daycare, where they're teaching them, you might be a little girl or you might be a little boy.
And you'll go to jail if you tell them otherwise.
Yeah, and I got to take that? No, I'll fight for that. Right. People say, well, you're getting political. Okay, right. I'm going to be in the fray. Call what you will. But these issues are politicized,
right,
and they do have a biblical moral they're relative to us biblically. And so when we fight for it, there's people that will really admire us. Like, here's the Christians leading the way, anti-slavery movement, Wilberforce in England. Here's the way. Christian leadership leading the civil rights movement in America. And we make them into heroes. Well, today, those of us who are fighting for the children, those of us who are fighting for decency and morality, we're called the bad guys. So there's been the old switcheroo, and we do get emotional about it, don't we, Pastor John?
We do. And here's the other thing, too. If you look all through Scripture, what you see, or what I should say, what you never see, you never see the government taking control of the kids, ever.
That is true.
I
never thought about that.
You see the Bible commanding the parents to raise them up in the way they should go, meaning follow Scripture.
Point number three for Pastor John.
It's just never in there. But how do we take over a country? And Hitler said it best, if you want to get a nation, get the children. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we see evil going after children, and we see God telling parents to teach the children all through Scripture. It really becomes simple. So what party do we see telling us that the family should raise children? Republicans. What party do you see trying to take full control over the children? Democrats.
Let me interject this point now, because this is foundational. Forget Democrat, Republican, conservative, libertarian. Just forget all that. There's a biblical worldview on issues. We're really talking moral issues and civil issues.
Right.
And then there is a non-biblical worldview. And whichever political party that men raise up that would adopt a biblical worldview and reject a secular worldview would be the party that I'm most comfortable with.
Right.
And so when you look at the Democrat party platform, the tenets, and they're aggressively pro-abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, right up to death, and even after death, it's been proposed to keep the child comfortable for a month.
How do you do post-birth abortion?
Yeah.
That's murder on every level.
Straight up.
Murder.
Murder. And that's part of their platform.
Right.
I don't know if they've adopted that part of it, but it's coming from that side where that's been suggested. When it talks about... women's rights, like I've championed for women's rights, but not women's right to kill babies, women's right to have equal pay for equal work. Sure. Women's rights to choose not to be on front lines in the military. I'll go with that.
Well, yeah, but so here's the thing with that, Duke. Now think about this. This is how twisted as a society we are. You bring up women's rights, right? And I am for equality of women.
Yeah, I always tell people
in society.
I just have a little thing I say. I'm not for equal rights for women. Boo! I'm for superior rights for women. Yay!
Yeah, right. As long as you're speaking my language, I'm for you. But here's a reality. So equal rights for women means that I have no problem with equality. So it's not even equal rights, it's equality. But there is a difference, because even Scripture talks about there being a difference. And
different roles.
So if being a fireman requires you, and it always has up until equal rights for women, mm-hmm. Being a fireman required you to carry a 200-pound man out or dummy out of a building. Well, women can't do that. So what do? We lowered the threshold to now you don't even have to carry anyone out.
Common sense left the decision making.
And so equality to give women equal rights took away equality, because now men still have to do that job. And women want paid the same as men for doing that job, when the women can't do that job in to be an adequate firefighter. And this isn't a slam. It's just a physical ability
It's just reality. Nobody would even consider this as a debate 40 years ago.
So that's why they don't belong on the front line. They do not have it. If they're counterpart goes down, they cannot grab him or her and drag them out of the danger zone into a foxhole, because they have enough strength to carry what they have on them, which has been minimized, and now they can't pick this person up and help them, and so now they got to leave that person there on the ground to die, because she does not have the physical strength that is required to fight war. Why? God did not design her to go to the front battle.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so this is not equal rights. It's equality. And I think the woman needs to be treated equally, as well as the men need to be treated equally, for when they perform the duties that they have been designed and built to perform.
Yeah, it always bleeds into the political realm one way or another.
Always.
Everything's politicized.
And it's always politicized to destroy a nation.
Yeah. We see it in women's sports. Now they have men doing women's sports because they identify as a woman, and they're crushing the women, and it's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not scientific. It's insane.
Dude, it breaks my heart to watch a man break swimming records and these women lose the gold and the silver and the bronze because a man has come in and done it, and an ignorant society has allowed men in women's sports, knowing they're stronger. And that's what I'm saying, not equal rights, equality. And it's not equality for a man to be in a woman's sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not equality for a woman to be in a man's sport.
It's what the culture, the woke culture, has done. They've thrown out any biblical values, and now they throw out complete common sense. They throw out science for this worldview that is demonic.
Right.
And I think we're illustrating, it's frustrating for you. That's why we're doing this podcast, because you're immersed in it. This is in your face, our listeners, every day. It's in our face. And we're Christian leaders.
Right.
And people are coming to us for answers. And so, you know, we're willing to have this talk with you as listeners. And there's just, you know, I think we just have to come back. When I get engaged, I get emotional when I see if I have a...
I don't ever get emotional.
You know, I got a little girl, a granddaughter that's playing sports, and she's doing really, really good. And then a group of boys come in calling themselves girls and kick her butt. You know, it's just like, I want to fight. So what I have to do...
But in fairness, even some Democrats, lesbians, transgenders, all of them, even some of them are going... This isn't right.
Yeah, there's a group of the LGBTQ community, which I very seldom agree with, but they're rising up and saying, hey, we are against grooming children towards their sexual decision. We're against that with younger children. I respect them for...
I do respect them for that.
For that, yeah.
I
disagree with them on so many other things, but they are right on that. Yeah. And so,
But I also find it interesting that they are now... They will have nothing to do with transgenders. The gay, lesbian, queer will have nothing to do with transgenders because now there is taking away the validity that they're born that way, gay. So because they're like, oh no, you're choosing to be transgender. And they're like, you're actually hurting our cause. So we don't want nothing to do with
you. Know, Pastor John, when you get it this side of it, you kind of go past my
I'm just saying
zone.
like I read I don't stop. That's my problem.
I think stop. We're illustrating the frustration that our listeners face every day.
Right.
Everything is politicized, and that's not your fault or mine.
Well, and if you look, conservatives typically argue for morality, fairness, freedom, smaller government. Liberals, progressives, Democrats typically argue for socialism, government control, and larger government, less freedom, right? And that everyone except for them needs to sacrifice for the greater good. And so what happens is we have capitalism against socialism, and then we have ideologies against God, mm-hmm. Biblical the world's thoughts against biblical thoughts. And so these are our two realms that we have to live
what,
in.
Pastor John, it's actually gone from two realms to three now, from conservatism to socialism to totalitarianism, whether it's fascism,
oh my goodness,
where you're actually being penalized for disagreeing with the order of the government, being persecuted for having ideas different from a vaccine mandate that's come down, and so we're
my body, my choice, unless your choice is not what they want for your body.
Yeah. Well, there's always hypocrisy on that side. But now it's gone from common sense, debate, and choosing to totalitarianism.
Right.
And of course, the conservatives are fighting that. And
and losing,
and the mainstream media is complicit with
Democrats.
Big pharma, Democratic Party,
and if you notice, Republicans are losing, and you're not hearing much from the Republicans because the Democratic platform owns the media.
Yeah,
and just pay attention; you can clearly see the media is lying, hiding, covering, deceiving the insanity of what's going on, so that. Even the Democrats who don't agree with all the crazy that we just talked about, because there are some that do not agree with
that. Yeah, like Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
Yeah. Even so that even they are not seeing truth, so they think that they're okay or the party's okay.
But again, all of this craziness blends into the scriptures teach prophetically a downscale,
downward
departure.
Spiral,
spiraling downward morally in the last days. It'll be like Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities about them. And we're here.
We're here.
It'll be like Sodom, or it'll be as the days of Noah, the world filled with violence and violating God's word
and transience.
And we're here.
We're here.
Yep. So, I don't want to be political, but we're being forced onto that political stage. Right. And when we do, we're not siding with the Republicans or siding with the Democrats. We're finding out what is the biblical message. We're standing upon that. And when we do that, we're finding that the Republicans
stand closer to
us.
To what's biblical than right.
And the Democrats call us deplorables.
So here's how we narrow it down here. There's some political issues which we've discussed that the Bible just doesn't take a stand on. And then there are some that the Bible does. And two mainly, which I think is the two are
constantly in our face.
Constantly in our face. Technically, there's three, because we talked about an abomination, and one of them was cross-dressing. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, transgenderism is in our face. Homosexuality is in our face. Abortion is in our face. Gay marriage is in our face. And what's crazy is the Democrats run their platforms for voting on abortion.
That's their main point.
On death. Freedom. They call death freedom. It's like, really? Can I throat punch you and see if you can survive it? I mean, it's crazy. And so let's look at abortion just for a second. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so God blessed them and said, multiply, be fruitful. And what are we doing? We are choosing the life that God, we are choosing to kill the life that God created. Exodus 21:22-25. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life.
It's not complicated when you turn to God.
God says, if you take the life or you cause the death of a child, a woman pregnant, very specific here, right? If men fight and hurt a woman with child, she's carrying so that she gives birth prematurely. So we know she's pregnant. Then you pay restitution for hurting the woman, but not the child. But, verse 23, but if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Meaning if the child dies from your actions, then your life is required as payment for that child. This right here covers abortion. I don't even need to go any further. Mm-hmm. It covers it.
We could do 50 other verses, but this covers it.
Oh, my goodness. Psalm 139:13-16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. And so what do we see? We see God's hand on the child, and therefore it is life, and we do not take life.
When did John the Baptist begin to praise Jesus?
In the womb.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Great point.
In vitro.
I'll give you a point.
3-1.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And so this here is clearly to Jeremiah, but my point is in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And so what do we see is God's like, I formed you and I knew you. And so that's why we don't agree with abortion, because God says anybody that takes the life of an unborn child, their life needs to be required of them. How about gay marriage? Leviticus 18:22. And I know you're going to say, it's the Old Testament under the law. Let me finish. So we see in Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not, it goes on and talks about that. I'm not even going to go into all that. But we see a man shall not lie with a man as he does with a woman. Then we see in Romans 1:26 through 27, which is now New Testament, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, this is how we know that women were laying with women. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And then as you read on, you find out the penalty for their error was death. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. And then, of course, it goes on in 10, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners, so on and so forth. And so what do we see? Gay marriage? Oh, no. It is completely anti-biblical. Abortion is completely anti-biblical. Not only is it anti-biblical, it is an abomination to God. An abomination.
And when they put it on the political stage and put it in our face as Christians, we got to stand on God's word. And then they say, well, you're being political. No, I'm being biblical.
I'm being biblical. And that's the difference. So here's the truth of the matter. For the Bible-believing Christian, abortion is not a matter of women's rights. It's not. Sorry, it is not your right to choose to kill that child, because God says if you choose, then you deserve the penalty due. It's just, now there's repentance in all this, so I'm not beating up on those who have had an abortion, and I'm not trying to lay guilt on you, but in the same respect, I'm trying to make it very clear that the Democrats are full on, full support of abortion, not only support it, but will pay for it, and will pay for it with conservatives' tax dollars and do all they can. Look, New York said, if your state won't give you an abortion, come here, we'll give it to you, and we'll pay you to come here and pay you for the and we'll pay to do the abortion.
New York and California are out on the front end of that, huh?
It's so crazy, right? This isn't a matter of your right to choose. This is a matter of life or death of a human being made in God's image that we've already seen in Jeremiah, the verses, right? Endorsing gay marriage is giving approval to a lifestyle choice. They're not born that way. We see it over and over. To a lifestyle choice that the Bible condemns, calls immoral, unnatural. God says that it's an abomination to him. And so if you support or believe in abortion, gay marriage, homosexuality, transgenderism, what you are saying is God is not my God. I don't know that it is possible for someone to, as a matter of fact, it is not possible for a person to support, endorse what God hates, and then you be a Christian.
It's not our decisions on this, Johnny. God has already spoken. We either obey him or disobey him. It's real simple.
Well, the scriptures say anybody that does the homosexual act deserves death, and anyone who supports that deserves death.
Yeah. It's
Romans chapter 1, verse 32.
It's in the scriptures. I look at the abortion issue, and I just think this thing is just so far away from God. If somebody's in a spiritual walk with God, they, you know, a man, I was looking for a woman, and I found a godly woman, and we did not practice premarital sex. I know it was in the early 70s, mid-70s, and sexual revolution and all that, but we had a Bible. We didn't follow Woodstock. We followed Scripture.
Right.
And we didn't believe in free sex. We committed our lives to Christ. We got
married.
Well,
I believed in it before salvation. before BC days. Right, but look, that shows you. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I repented in the name of Jesus from that lifestyle, and we got married and did it God's way, and God has blessed us. Mm-hmm. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and you get people fornicating. That's outside of God's boundaries, too, having sex before marriage, and there's just no respect of marriage. We'll have sex, and we'll have sexually gratified throughout marriage, throughout history, and we just, you know, men always were going after women, and then women's liberation, they became more sexually active, which the guys were thrilled about. So in a lot of parts of the world today, in the Western world, they don't even bother with marriage.
Well, so check this out. What was the biggest push? And you can go back and see who was behind it. You can Google this. I'm not picking on anyone. We're just simply pointing out who was the biggest proponent of easy divorce. And matter of fact, not just easy divorce, but you actually will get greater benefits if you're not married now than if you're married.
That would come from the Democratic side of the aisle.
And, of course, what do we know that happens to a nation when the family falls apart? As the family goes,
the nation goes.
So goes the nation.
Yeah.
So, we see it over and over and over again. And guys, listen, I'm not picking a side. I'm just simply,
exposing.
The sides. Are the Republicans perfect? Oh, please, no. Far from it. But are they walking closer to what should be biblical? Yes.
The platform leans
right.
more that way.
Right.
And then they're full of fakes as well.
Oh, my. They're full of hypocrites.
And so absolutely. I don't like to be part of it.
But we got good ones.
Oh, yes, we do.
And then we have fakes.
Kind of like the way it's always been.
Right.
It?
And you know, I'm not saying all Democrats support gay marriage and all Democrats support abortion and so on and so forth. Listen, if you don't support gay marriage and you don't support abortion and you don't support big government and you don't support socialism,
then don't vote for candidates that do.
Well,
that's how I interpret it.
Well, because you're not Democrat.
You wouldn't have much other choice.
You don't, right? You're not Democrat. So what happens is, and I'm going to get back onto this, is you can't endorse what God hates and call yourself a Christian, because the truth is you're not. You're lying to yourself because you are spitting in the face of God and you're going against him. And you could not like that, and that's fine, but that's the reality of it. And so these are all little litmus tests to help you discover whether you really do love Jesus or not, because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so if you're not keeping what he says to do, and you're not running from the evil that he says to run from, which is abortion, death, homosexuality, all that, and you're getting tied up in it and supporting it, you're not his child. You're going to be one of those, but Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and that in your name. And he's going to say, away from me, you worker of iniquity.
I never
knew you. And so you can hang on to religion all you want, but the truth is, without the relationship, you're going to hell. Like, that's just bottom line. And if we look at Bible-believing Christians, you need to support the candidates that view or support God's view the most. That's our option, right? We're not going to have the perfect candidate, let's just be honest, mm-hmm. and we're always going to find issues. And so what do we see that the Bible teaches a leader should be? Godly, moral, ethical, all of these things we find in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13. You can go back and read it. We find it in Titus 1, 6 through 9. That's what a leader of a church should be in those passages. But, you know, political leaders need to get pretty close to that.
It'd be good if they did.
It would be very good if they did, right? And so what we're really looking at is there a clear moral distinction between candidates? That's what we want to do. And what we see is that there is a clear moral distinction between candidates, and that is the fact that if you look at the Democrats, they're anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-family, anti-freedom, anti-capitalism. They're anti anything that allows you to breathe without oppression. And if you and let's be honest, they're anti-moral too. There's no morality in the Democratic Party today.
Read the platform. There it is.
And Democrats are leaving by the droves.
Yes, they are. Thank God for them.
Right.
You know, Ronald Reagan said, "I didn't leave the Democratic Party. They left me." And Joe Manchin from West Virginia is basically a good man, and he's talking now to coming out,
right?
Because he can't
take it anymore.
They do not represent his values,
right?
And his state does not embrace the values of the Democratic Party. So, I see people that are in places because of history, and they were born into a Democratic family, and so they're trying to hold on to that. But it's not the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy. It has been hijacked.
Here's the thing. That's why they killed him, because he was going to expose the evil of the Democratic Party, and they killed him for it.
Mm-hmm. He made that last speech, and a week later he was dead.
He was dead.
He was exposing it.
Yep. So here's the bottom line, guys. If we're just going to wrap it all up, politics is always going to be an issue for the Christian. Always. But here's what we have to remember. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And so 1 John 2:15 says this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Well, that's also another verse that shows if someone shows they're a Christian, but they love the world and the things of the world, they're not of the Father. This verse is clear with that. But either way, we can be involved in politics, but guys, we can't be obsessed with it. You've got to be so careful, because ultimately we have to stay heavenly minded and more concerned with the things of God than the things of the world. Colossians 3:1-2. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth."
Another version says, "Set your affections on those things."
All right. Here's where we're at, guys. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're all members of the same political party.
I've been saving this point for you, John.
We are monarchists who are waiting for their king. And Revelation 19:11-16 says, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
We went from being anarchists to monarchists. Oh, boy. Johnny got 4 points today.
Love you. Love you, too. Hey, guys, if this has helped, please like, share, subscribe, and follow. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, God bless.